That's right.
Okay. Good morning. This will be an absolute discharge hearing for Mr. Dan Ferguson. Mr. Ferguson, please come forward and state your name, and if you remember your ABC number, if you don't remember it, we will give it to you, sir.
I remember James Ferguson, 037-156.
Okay, thank you so very much. You appear for those on the board of executive clemency, and as you've seen since you've been sitting here, I want to thank you for your patience. We have three board members participating in your hearing at this time. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, my name is C.T. Wright. I will be serving as your panel chair. We want to take this opportunity to welcome you, and we want to see how much progress that you've made since you've been out. I'll just make a few comments as always, and then you can correct those that may or may not be correct, and mine will be very general, but it will kind of cover the basis just for information. I do take note that, and you can correct me after I've completed, because you don't have to interrupt since I can complete. You can say, oh, you messed up on that one. Okay, what I bring is that you're currently employed as the manager at Paxton House, and you've been there since 2016. Before then, you were at Solar Industries as a mechanic operator, and you, in terms of resources, you received Social Security disability benefits due to a stroke that you had in 2014. According to what I bring, you was granted parole by this board on January 6, 2015, and you were actually released on February 9, 2015, that you had been enrolled before, and then you returned to custody in 2006, at that time when you left Arizona and went to Chattanooga, Tennessee. The offenses that you served was for armed robbery and murder, and the last discipline that you had, which is not applicable now because you're already out on parole, but would have been in 2012. The offense themselves, initially July 2nd, 1976, the defendant and co-defendant was drinking at a bar in Phoenix, and then they decided to rob a taxi cab and the driver rather, and the defendant shot the victim without anything taking place. He shot him, and then they searched for, he and the co-defendant searched for money that the driver had, and they drove the cab away. And then on February 11, 1977, while leaving the court, the defendant and co-defendant, this is another co-defendant, not the same one, escaped, and his wife had slipped him a gun while he was in court, and he was able to hold up the officer, and then two attorneys were leaving at that time, gunpoint, and then they determined that he had them put their keys and money on the roof of their car, and they were later, he and his co-defendant were later apprehended, and with that he was convicted of multi-felony offenses. But that part is really not necessary for all of that, but just want everybody to know why he was in there, because the board saw fit, has seen fit already, to grant him general parole. Am I correct? Your own general parole at this particular time. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's
sir,
right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we call this PO.
Okay, what's the number that we need to call, sir? Well, you won't go ahead and call it. I don't put it somewhere, but I don't have the number. Okay, please go ahead, sir. I will write you a 2-9. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Houston.
Hi, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We understand that you were going to participate in the parole hearing for Mr. Ferguson.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're in the process of conducting that hearing now. Dr. C.T. Wright is leading that hearing at this time, and Mr. Ferguson is here.
Okay.
Well, thank you so very much, Officer. We certainly appreciate you being here. And what we've done this time, we just went over a brief summary of where Mr. Ferguson is in terms of employment, so forth. We also went over the offense itself that took place back in 1976, and we were in the process of asking Mr. Ferguson just to make some comments on what's been going on now that he's on general parole. And I would also acknowledge that we do have a report, your report that you submitted to the board, and the board does have a copy of it, but just for the record. So
we're
going to listen to Mr. Ferguson first, and then anything that you would like to tell the board. Mr. Ferguson, sir, how are things going?
Well, not bad.
So what's been going on with your life, sir?
Well, the bottom line is that I was a manager of Avalos, and when I got used to tell those guys, because I had a stroke about 2.5 years ago, I couldn't talk at all. I couldn't really move my right arm. Now I've worked out and so forth. I've got pretty much the movement. And 3 years ago, I couldn't talk at all. Now I've got a little vocalization down. But anyway, everything's been going great. I feel like that I need to be an example for the Avalos. And the guys have told me, man, you do a great job. Everything's been going good, and I get along well with my parole officer. Report when I'm supposed to report, so good and so on.
Are you still the manager there at Paxton House, sir? Is that still your place of employment?
No. If you read the letter that I gave you, I left there about a month ago, and I work for Uber now. Maybe $60-$70 a month I may earn, and I've got a small trailer, so I sold it on there. What small trailer? I felt like it was time for me to move out.
And you gave us that today with the picture of your trailer. I said you gave that to the board just a few moments ago.
Yes,
sir. I just want to note that for the record that we did receive the photo that you brought with you, sir. Okay. So how's everything going with Uber these days, sir?
Well, it's going good. I'm loving the system, you know. But it's okay. I can either deliver food or stop and pick people up and take them where they need to go, you know.
And why did you decide to accept that employment, sir? Since you were doing such a wonderful job at Paxton House, why did you decide to change employment, sir?
Well,
place of employment.
The reason being is because the lady that ran the house, that wrote a letter for me, she told me that she had found somebody else and she wanted to put somebody else in there toward the end of the month or the first of next month. And I said, okay. So I went ahead and found another place. And I wasn't going to just draw a disability because I get $500 a month, and I went down and talked to them, and I guess they're going to raise my disability now that I'm out of all that. I think $750 a month is the most I can get. I thought, well, I need a little bit extra. So I put in an application, my insurance, so forth and so on, to Uber and up here in Phoenix, and it took them 3 days, and they approved it. Well, now I'm driving for Uber. I think I can make $1,200 a month, but that's a lot of driving. That's a favorite. $69 a month, that's good enough right there, you know.
Now, when did you start working with Uber? As I said, you know, you just gave us this letter just a few months ago, so when did you actually start your employment with them, sir?
About a week ago.
Oh, so this is real new.
Yes, okay. Real recent.
Okay. And I know a week is not that long, but so far, how do you feel about doing that? I'll put it my way, which is not a term at all, not a terminology. It's a high class taxi company, so high class, you know, stuff above just a regular one. So how are you enjoying doing that, sir?
Well, so far it's been real good because I was kind of leery in the beginning of getting involved with some drugs and people on the road and so forth. So they do everything on their own, their credit card, so forth and so on, and it's all taken care of. And they can give me a tip later on, because I've got a pocket full of change. They can give me a tip, as far as the money's concerned, they take care of that on the computer, and then I just tell them where they need to go, and that's it.
I do take notes, sir, and I'm not speaking in the pro or against the company, but there have been a few problems, you know, with people being robbed or people being accused of robbing some of the drivers or some, I think one of the drivers accused, and I'm not saying that they were guilty by no means, but perhaps having some type of sexual situation with one of the passengers, but you feel comfortable as to be a driver?
Yes, sir.
At this time, so.
But because as far as the women are concerned, it's like, you know what? What you do is your business. If you want to do something, you're going to take it to somebody else, because I don't have nothing to do with it, because I have a job to do this in.
Mm-hmm. And what are you working hours, sir, with the company?
It just depends on me, where I want to work. Mm-hmm. I may work a couple of hours one day, or I may work 4 or 5 hours the next day.
So what else do you do aside from your place of employment? I mean, do you have any community activities, any church, any movies, anything at all?
If this board will grant the clemency, then I'm going to get involved in Big Brothers or something to that effect. Right now I'm on furlough, and a lot of the places that I'd like to get involved in, like, you're on furlough, but if I'm not on furlough anymore, then Big Brothers and some of the places like that will open the door. Because I think a lot of youngins, I can talk to a lot of youngins and be a good example for them. Because I'm 63 years old now. I've spent a little over 40 years in prison. I learned my lesson years and years ago. But the bottom line is that you got to do the right thing.
Okay. And how have you adjusted? Let's see. Let me just ask this because I think I know the answer, but when we released you, when I said we the board, when the board released you, we released you directly to general parole, am I correct?
Correct.
Not home arrest.
It's general parole.
Okay. Now, one concern that I do have, and I know this is history as well, but what happened, you know, back in, I think it was 06, when you were out before and you skipped town, so to speak?
Well, the bottom line was I was still nothing with this head, thing with another head. And I found out about the single phone lines, and I was working a full-time job, two part-time jobs, and a lot of times, boy, I had all kind of women calling me, and I didn't have any problem going to houses or women come to my house. Well, one woman, I thought she was okay. I moved in with her because she kind of pressured me a little bit, and I moved in with her, but I was still working my jobs and still, you know, playing around a little bit. And the next thing you know, it's like, it wasn't working very good. But I had enough stuff at the house that it looked like I still lived there. One day she called me and she said, look, I'm convinced that you don't live here anymore, or so forth and so on like that, and that you're driving me. And I said, here's the bottom line. No, I don't live there anymore. I've got another place, blah, blah, blah. The next thing you know, the police coming arresting me for rape. I'm like, are you kidding? I've never done anything like that. Probably 2 weeks later, they came to me with a misdemeanor sex charge. I forget what it was, but I said, no, I didn't do nothing wrong. I've never done anything like that. I'm not going to do nothing like that. I absolutely refuse. But when the day I got locked up 2 times, I was sent out and write checks for all my bills, and some of them I paid off or paid a chunk of them. Well, Wednesday I sat down and did that. Well, Thursday is when I got locked up. Well, Friday, my regular paycheck went right straight to the bank with the two part-time jobs. Whenever I get off work Saturday morning, 6 o'clock, I would take the paychecks and drop off at the bank, go to the house, shower, get some breakfast, so forth, and so on. Well, I got locked up on a Thursday. Well, I had 3 misdemeanor check charges.
So, but then you skipped town, you went to Tennessee, or did you?
I was from Tennessee, Tennessee.
Oh, so you went to Tennessee, so that's where you were, at that time, that's where you were?
Yes, Tennessee.
You went away to Tennessee, from Arizona to Tennessee?
No, sir, I was interstate compact in Florida at the time.
Well, how did Tennessee get involved? Was that Arizona, Tennessee, Florida? I'm getting a little lost, sir.
My older sister, my mother lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And they wanted me paroled up there where I was eligible for parole. Well, they granted me parole, so I left, my sister and my mother came in and picked me up in Florida and took me up to Tennessee.
And so, when did your interstate compact take you to? I mean, when you applied for interstate compact, when did you apply to go to?
I didn't apply. They just snatched me up and took me in 1984.
Well, so they just took you there?
Yes.
So when you were released, you just stayed in Florida?
No, I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Went to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I've never been on the streets in Florida.
Okay.
But I was in the penitentiary out there for 20 years.
And so you was in a penitentiary down in Florida?
Yes, sir.
And then your family was up in Tennessee?
Well, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the rest of them live in Dallas.
So now, where is your family now?
Now, most all of them is dead now.
Do you have any family at all in Arizona?
No, sir. No. My mother and younger sister, my baby sister, they lived there for a little while when I was in Arizona, but they moved back to Dallas when they transferred me to Florida, so didn't anybody live in Arizona.
So, if this were granted you absolute discharge, what would you do? Would you stay in Arizona? Would you go to Texas? Or would you go to Tennessee? Or what would you do, sir? Well, I've been a little confused here.
I thought about it a little bit. First of all, I have COPD now, and so I can watch it because I'm on the breathing machines over it. So I don't need to, because I've got a friend of mine that I've been friends with for over 40 years now. He wants me to come forward. But the humidity out there is so high that it would have a negative effect on my breathing. So I'm not going to go out there. Basically, I would stay in Arizona. I would stay in Tucson. And eventually, I might maybe move to, maybe came into Flagstaff. Somewhere where it's a little cooler. I guess it's part of the heat. But it's a little bit cooler up there. So I might maybe move to Kingman or Flagstaff.
Okay. And let me understand again, sir, and I think that I missed something when I did my homework on this one. Now, how did you end up in prison down in Florida?
The prison did an interstate compact on me because I was a rascalian back in those days. But
the actual offense, the initial offense took place in Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona, yes, sir.
And then you were sit down to Florida?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then you ended up in Tennessee because of your family. After you were released, then you ended up in Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Now, where did these charges of rape? Now, which state were you in when you were charged with rape?
In Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And you were saying that you were not guilty, those ladies or that lady just made that up on you?
Yes, and they ended up dismissing the charge because she wasn't going to come to get on the stand and testify against me. Because I know my lawyer or anybody else could have, because she was lying from the beginning and she twisted all up and she couldn't have convinced a jury, I don't think, that I was guilty because I've never done anything like that before. I wouldn't think of doing anything like that.
How long did you know her?
A couple, 3 months, I guess.
But what do you think she charged you with rape, sir?
Well,
although you say you're not guilty, why do you think she might have done that?
Well, I think just her vindictiveness and bottom line was is that's how I got involved with was for sexual purposes because I had two or three four girlfriends that they would call me up or they would come over wherever I could and that was the main reason we got together. One of them was married. And Jeannie, what's her name? Jeannie, she got possessive. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. A lot that I'd like to tell this board, and describe this. I have blood on my brain from the stroke, and it's like a lot of things I vaguely remember, because the bottom line was I didn't do anything wrong out there, so it was like I don't pay a lot of attention to it.
Now, what is that whole other question? I'm going to have a board member because I don't want to take up all your time. Okay, now this is my final question for the moment. Okay, now you were in Tennessee, this lady charged you with rape, and you were found not guilty. And so how did you end up in Arizona after that, sir?
Because I had three misdemeanor rape charges. And so Arizona came and got me.
Okay, so they brought you to Arizona?
Yes. Okay. And I got out of my board because of the three misdemeanor rape charges.
Okay, so. Well, I guess I'm going to get a lot of board members. I think I've asked enough questions.
I was just going to ask him about these three misdemeanor checks.
Yes.
That's what you got violated on.
Yes.
And they brought you back here.
Yes, sir.
Then after that, what happened? What did you do?
I'm terrible about it. I can't remember the name of the institution I was at. East Arizona.
So you were brought back, you were locked up. How long were you locked up for?
I think I was locked up about 11, 12 years, whatever like that.
Okay.
Because I went to the board several times, and then I'm not going to board anymore. So for 3 years, I never went to the board. Mm-hmm. I refused to go.
So you stayed incarcerated until yes. you, otherwise you just killed your time.
Well, no sir, because I've got a life sentence. But when I had my stroke, it was like, I don't think that this prison is going to help me any. I think I need to get out and try to do something for myself, because I used to work out a lot. And that, because I couldn't move his right arm or right like that, and the right foot, I couldn't move it, and the right side of my face. Well, I massaged my face, and I went out and started doing push-ups and so forth. I'd walked out a lot, and I'd go back working out again, and I'd do three sets of 50 push-ups. I struggled to do 10, because I don't know if this wouldn't work. Now it's like, because I worked on it. I can't remember the name of the place. I know you are not familiar with Tucson, but it's a physical place where we've got weight machines and so forth. So $10 a month. And now I go down there. I've been going down there about 6 weeks now, and I go down there about 4:35 every morning, and I go down and give me a workout. I work my upper body one day, my lower body the next day, and then I go get on the treadmill, the walking machine, and I think it's helping out a lot. My breathing is getting better, because I watch my breathing when I'm working out, and when I'm on that treadmill, I watch my breathing, and my breathing is getting better. So.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Well, thank you so much. Any questions, Mr. Leon?
Okay, no, sir.
I was looking at any more questions for you. At this time, I don't. So at this time, I will go to your officer who's on the phone. So what can you share with the board at this time?
Other than what's in the report, I've been preventing him for the past 8 months. He's been very compliant, back to the halfway house, right? He left there. Owner of the house really enjoyed having him there being a house manager, but it was so cool he needed to move on into his own place to have reached that point. Where he really needed to move on, and that's what he did. So he had been out to his residence, and I've also talked to the landlord, and there hasn't been any issues that have been reported to me. He's been compliant. I meet with him twice a month. We have phone conversations in between that time if there's any issues or changes or anything. So I only want to know if we're going to have some reports.
Okay. Now, I forgot to ask you up front, would you please state your name for the record and your position there with the Department of Correction, ma'am?
Yes. Nancy couple fingers for a lucky third to form regional parole office.
Okay, well, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
I was listening, but I didn't quite comprehend that. So now, how long have you been his parole officer now?
1 year.
1 year, okay. So...
But I've been with the parole office for 4 years. Because the PSC, I was the job coordinator here. And prior to that, I worked in Illinois for 15 years in probation.
Oh, okay, so you... Yes, ma'am, you know, I've
got... So I've got years of experience in probation, so...
Yes, ma'am. Now, I'm trying to understand, he said he left, and for a good reason, I'm not challenging that at all, but I mean, the reason he left Paxton House, so he, I understand that, so after a while, it's time, went to move on and begin to find employment elsewhere. This is an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Does his stroke or his physical condition affect him at all in terms of his being a fit person to work with, ma'am?
His disability,
anything
to do
with him? Yes, ma'am. You know, sometimes one has disabilities, which we all have some.
I don't see it. He drives to the office to see me. I know she just got the job at Uber, and it was clear to them to be employed there. So I don't see any barriers for it, even at his home, where he's at.
I don't know, I should know this, but I don't know. Did you have to approve him to accept in that position there at Uber, or they can do that on their own? As his parole officer, did you have to give him permission to accept that position?
Yes,
Okay, I'm going to see if other board members might have any questions for you. Any questions, board members?
No.
Okay, there are no further questions for you at this time. Please feel free to stay on the phone, but if you have other things to do, we do understand, but we will be delighted if your time permits for you to stay on the phone to see how the hearing will end.
Okay.
So we will continue with the hearing. Okay. Mr. Ferguson, we are coming towards the end of your hearing at this time. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board today before the board goes into discussion and make its decision, because we do everything in public, as you know, as part of the open meeting law in the state of Arizona. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time without repeating yourself, sir?
I've done the right thing, and I'm going to continue to do the right thing. If you were my neighbor or whatever, you'd say, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm getting too old to be stupid now. I'm 63 years old.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. The board is now going into discussion. We're going to ask if you will remain quiet. You can have a seat, sir, while we're in discussion. And following this discussion, the board will make its determination at that time. I do find Mr. Ferguson to be an intelligent gentleman. Of course, he's had this disability, the stroke that he had, in 14, he did. As far as I could tell, reading the paperwork, he did an outstanding job while he was at Paxton House, then it came time for him to move on, and the new position, he's just accepted it recently, and I'm going to really honest as one board member. We all talk, speak, and vote independently of each other. I'm concerned that he's just changed positions, employment, when I say position, just changed positions in terms of employment. Despite all the successes that he's made, I
I'm just a little on the fence there. I think that in addition to that situation, and I know he had reasons for that, that took place in Tennessee. He was found innocent, so he was not guilty, but he admits himself that he was just having, not his words now, he was just dating, I'm going to be kind, he was just dating, you know, two or three women at the same time, and I believe he said three, and one accused him of rape, and that's why he had that problem in situ in Tennessee, and he already had the misdemeanors in Arizona, and he was brought back to Arizona, and to the prison in Arizona, and then this board saw fit to place him on general parole here in Arizona, and that's why he's here this time. But as I said before, I'm just a little impressed, but I'm prepared to listen to other board members to see how other board members, what they've heard and what they feel. I'm going to Mr. Johnson.
Dr. Wright, I think that Mr. Ferguson, he did go to Tennessee, and he had those three bad checks while he was in Tennessee, and as a result of those three bad checks, they brought him back here to Arizona. Said he spent 10 years, about 10 years, when they revoked him, that he spent about 10 years. He got out, he was off the road, he was at the halfway house. He worked there for about a year, doing maintenance and general work around there. He had his stroke, and the result of his stroke, he's on Social Security disability. He says he gets, I believe he said, about $600 a month. And he just reapplied, he may get about $750 a month, and he's moved out from the halfway house and moved out to his own trailer, where he's on his own now, and he's working for Uber part-time. He says he just drives when, you know, he can. He makes, $60-$70 a week, I believe he said that. He doesn't have to handle any money. It's all done through credit cards, except when a passenger decides to give him a tip, which he takes and puts in his pocket. He says he got plenty of change just in case he gets a tip. He carry around in his in his pocket. His PO said that he has been compliant with all of his things. However, he does not have any family here. And he is probably going to stay here. I know he's not sure what his plan's going to be for himself, but he's going to stay here, or got a good friend in Florida, or he may, you know, move up north where the weather's a little bit easier because he has COPD now. But I do understand him having a new job. I do commend him for everything he did, but I would kind of like to see him, you know, see how long he's going to work on this new job that he has. But he's doing a good job out there, so I'm kind of on the fence myself. But I do think that it would be good for him to continue to work this job with Uber and save him some money and just make sure that he stays on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so very much, Joe. Well, what's the deal?
Well, I'm inclined to agree with Mr. Johnson. And like you were saying, with the job, with the, you know, the recent change of the job, and Uber's a challenging job. I've worked for Uber, and it can be very challenging. So I would really like to see some more time in that job before we made a determination.
Okay. That being said, I'm going off on motion, and this is just the way it goes. And if not, then we can always have a counter motion as board members, as we know. And my motion is going to be just a very simple motion, and that is at this time that deny absolute discharge. And that is my motion.
Second.
Okay. The motion by myself, CT Wright, I have to get these names. It was seconded by Mr. Neal, Honorable Mr. Neal, and Honorable Mr. Johnson. What was your vote on that?
I agree.
Okay, agreed by Mr. Johnson. Okay, so the board has voted unanimously to deny your request for absolute discharge at this time.
don't look at this as a negative, so we just want to make sure that once you out there that you're secure, because we want to see you being successful. I know you said that you're 63, and you're still a young man. You still have lots of time before you. I know you have these challenges, these health challenges, and we want you to be well. But we're looking out to, at this time for your own interest, so please, sir. And so this will end your hearing, and at the appropriate time, you can reapply, and we look forward to seeing you again, and we look forward to your continuing to work with your parole officer, who sounds like to be just a wonderful person, our first time, I believe, my first time speaking with her. And we wish you the best, sir. So this will end your hearing, and the hearing is over. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'm going to hang up, man.